Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Peter J. Deruta or his guests are liable for the usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.
Hi, this is Coach Pete, and if you've got questions about how to safely and properly allocate your investments, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Financial Safari.
Broadcasting from coast to coast, it's the Financial Safari with your host, Coach Pete Deruta. Coach Pete and his guests are some of the nation's top financial professionals. They make it their mission to guide investors through the treacherous jungle of the financial world, showing them how to grow, keep, and leave their money for their loved ones. Coach Pete is a frequent contributor to Fox Business Network, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, and many other news outlets. They come to Coach Pete for their answers, and now so can you. So stick around and find out how to make it through the jungle of the financial world on The Financial Safari.
And it is The Financial Safari. I'm Kit Fitzsimmons here with our multiple-time best-selling author, Coach Pete Deruta. How are you doing today, Coach?
I'm doing great, Kit. How about you?
I'm doing so well. Now, we have an interesting piece of news coming in. Jerry Seinfeld is selling some of his cars at auction. Now, I've seen his show, Comedians in Cars, getting coffee. He has a lot of cars out there, but now he's taking some of them to auction.
Yeah, he's selling 15 Porsches. That's how you say it, isn't it? What is a one Porsche? Is a Porsche two Porsches? Porsches?
Porsches.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had one Porsche, much less two Porsches. But, I mean, he's selling 15 of them at Amelia Island Auction, and their collective estimated worth, and of course, when you go to auction, you never know, but their collective estimated worth is $30 million. You know, these comedians love to – Jay Leno's a big collector of cars, too. It's pretty funny how they get into that. That's big money right there, and that's just 15 of his cars. He's got a lot more than that. It's just crazy. I mean, you can only drive one car. Remember Mike Tyson had like five or six BMWs each time he'd go buy five or six, and there's only one Mike Tyson.
He needs a vanity plate that says Monday.
He's also selling a few non-Porsches, and this is interesting to me. Remember the Volkswagen Camper as a van kind of thing? It's like a Volkswagen van? A 1964 Volkswagen Camper. It's expected to take between 80 and 100,000 when it hits the auction, and it is basically it's one of the finest unrestored specimens of the van around, they say. You know, you've seen. You don't see many of those anymore. You know the Volkswagen van, but it was like a camper. It would fold out a little bit, and you could sleep in there.
Oh my gosh!
Remember that?
Yeah, it had a little kitchen dinette area.
I think maybe there was one in the Cheech and Chong movie one time or something. That's a pretty neat. You go from a Porsche to a Volkswagen camper van, but I mean a $100,000 value just because it's in such great shape. And so, I mean, there's so many different ways that people make money, and I guess Seinfeld has made money on investing in cars. So we talk about investing a lot of times on the show, and when people hear investing, they think stocks, bonds, mutual funds, annuities, which really aren't investments. Annuities are savings accounts offered by insurance companies, unless you get a variable annuity, which is a whole different story. Mm-hmm. And there's different ways to make money. We hear people invest in real estate. We hear people invest in art. But investing in cars, if you invest in collectible cars, can be worthwhile too. Now, keep in mind, he's going to auction with these, so the auction will decide how much money he makes or loses.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's certainly better than putting up a 1964 Volkswagen camper on Craigslist, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess Jerry hasn't fallen in love with these cars, because a lot of times we tell people if they're buying stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or even advisors, not to fall in love with them, because they need to know the purpose of any investment is to make money, not to have a long-term love affair with it, because if you're making money, get out sometime. If you double your profit, get out with at least half. And now if you lose money, you're not losing money because you've already broken even.
And I bet that when it comes to collectors, it's easier to fall in love with your investment. It might be harder to fall in love with a four-letter acronym, but you can certainly see falling in love with a beautifully restored Porsche.
Yeah. And now one final thing I want to talk about, because my first car was a 1968 Volkswagen Bug. Remember the little Bugs? Now they got the new ones now, but this was totally different. You had to park on a hill because a lot of times it wouldn't start, so you get in and pop the clutch. Or the best sight ever, not to me, but for a lot of people in the neighborhood laughing at me, was to watch me have to get it out of the car, push it, jump in, and pop the clutch. And so he's got a 1960 Volkswagen Beetle that is rounding out his non-Porsche offerings, and he's going to sell it for $55,000. That's what he wants. It has a pebble gray color. Mine was a navy blue. and it only has 15,000 miles on it. So low mileage is very important. A former school teacher owned it, and she drove it less than 15,000 miles. Well, she owned it for 30 years.
Wow.
In South Dakota. That's simple math tells you that's 500 miles a year. I wonder if she walked to school. Maybe her school was right down the road. She was a school teacher.
She walked next to her car to school.
Yeah. So I still, though, I mean, and I paid $50 for my 68 Volkswagen in 1982. So, of course, it was beat up, and it really shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't have been on the road to begin with, but you remember the Volkswagen engine was about the size of a book right now, not that big, compared to the computerized cars we have these days. But, hey, it just goes to show you can invest in all different types of assets, from a very expensive Porsche to a very cheap Volkswagen and still make money. Same with the market, same with investing in different places other than the market, but you have to know when to get in and, more importantly, when to get out. And our local coaches kit, they can help you in the financial world with these kind of items, as well as planning for your future. And the number to call them at any time is 800-604-1099. That's 800-604-1099. And everyone who calls gets my PDF series and a audio series that you can listen to in the privacy of your own home. It's a workbook series on the 7 ridiculously reliable steps to retirement income.
Stay tuned for a great interview with your local financial coach coming up on the Financial Safari.
Hey, it's Coach Pete. Retirement comes a lot faster than we realize it will. Wouldn't it be great to be looking forward to it and be financially secure when you get to the magic day? Well, folks, that's why it's important to work with a financial coach who understands the need for proper planning before, during, and after retirement, and why I recommend you call my close personal friend and coach in your area. And in Chicagoland, I recommend you call my local financial coach, John Kelly, at 800-477-1135. That's 800-477-1135. 1135.
And it's time to crack open Coach's Financial Dictionary. The term today, Coach, is beauty contest. So not your average everyday beauty contest, I guess.
Yeah, this is when a company's getting ready to have an IPO. They want to look as beautiful as possible to investors, potential investors, and people who are going to bring, you know, that's usually the investment departments of banks and big brokerage companies who want to invest money, so they have to look really good. And it's also been called window dressing a lot of times, making it look real good before someone comes. When I was in college, I worked at the school cafeteria. And it was pretty funny because about a week before the health inspector was coming, we knew somehow. who knows how?
But leaked that?
I imagine that some money changed hands there. But what we did for that week before the inspector came, we spent the whole time cleaning up the kitchen.
Oh, gotcha.
Right? So the kitchen looked really good when the health inspector came and then went back to the way it used to look, you know? So there were certain places we knew we didn't want to eat, and there's other places we ate. As workers there, we knew the good food and the bad food. And so just like that, when you have a company and you're beginning that IPO process, you invite the potential underwriters from the investment banks to tour the company. And the two objectives are to invite the interest from the underwriters by making a good impression. And also, Kit, number two is it's not just the underwriter looking at the company. The company's looking back at the underwriter saying, would we want them to invest in us?
Oh, gotcha.
If you take money from somebody, you're beholden to them a little bit. Look at the political process, right? So here, if you are a company and you've made your company look real good, you got a lot of potential investors there, but there's one investor who is a real pain, right? And you don't really want that person to be around. You don't have to take money from them. So you're deciding, just like they are deciding, if you're a good fit or not. We see this a lot in the financial world, too. I meet with folks each and every week from the radio show. And when they come in, they're deciding if they want to work with me, but I'm deciding if I want to work with them. And
so
same with our national coaches nationwide here. And so it's not a bad thing because some people just aren't good fits and some people are really good fits that they never would have known each other if they didn't attend an event like this. That's why we offer that no-cost initial consultation with our advisors nationwide.
And you can get in touch with one of these advisors by calling 800-604-1099. 1099.
Kit, that's important because they are local. If you're hearing the show, you have a local financial coach right in your area who's very willing to help you decide if you are in the right place or design plans so you can get in a better place.
And we've got an exciting interview coming up with your local financial coach right here on the Financial Safari.
Hi, this is Brian Mountain, your proactive plumber, and here is your plumbing tip of the week. There are three areas in your home that are vulnerable for water damage. The first one is your clothes washer. Most people put their clothes in, they set it, and then they walk away. They don't stand there and watch it. So what happens if the washing machine overflows or a line breaks behind it or water ends up on the floor? You don't find out about it until the water damage has already taken a foothold. The best thing to do is to set yourself an alarm next to the clothes washer so the second that touches water, the alarm goes off. Once the alarm goes off, it brings your attention to come into the washroom and see what the problem is and take care of it. These water alarms can be found at any box store, very cheap, or online. If you're not sure about these water alarms, please contact your local plumber or box store professional. This has been your proactive tip of the week, because being proactive can save you money.